Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. It's an opportunity for me to have a spiritual conversation with various guests that come on the show. We usually are talking about a topic relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. And today, as my special guest, I have with me Jennifer Roach King. Thanks for being here today, Jen. Well, actually, we call Jennifer Niff, affectionately called Niff. So thanks for being here today, Niff.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you a little bit about Niff and our topic today. It's an opportunity for you to tune in, like I said, on a weekly basis to my show. I encourage you to look back at the archived videos of the show on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. This also goes out on the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page, as well as Blog Talk Radio. There are other shows that go out weekly for Lilydale, so I encourage you to take a look at those, all kinds of different hosts and topics that are happening throughout the week. And today on Wednesdays with Willa, our topic is, who is Leolin? Today we're going to be uncovering the mystery of Leolin. And we, as I said, I have my special guest today is Jennifer Roach King, and she's retired. She lives in the Adirondack State Park, and she loves Lilydale. You've been coming to Lilydale since 1975, you said, right? So about 46 years have passed by. Who would have thought? And that's what happens when people come to Lilydale. It becomes a pilgrimage every summer to be here in this special place with all of these great people and this opportunity to learn and grow together with spirit. So Niff has been a friendly face in the past. She's helped people by driving a tram and getting people into different locations, and you really enjoy looking at all the little facets of Lilydale and details. So she's a perfect person to share with us this research. So Niff, let's tell them what and who is Leolin.
Well, let's see. Pretty much, when you're driving down Dale Drive, coming into Lilydale, you drive past on your left the Leolin Inn, and on your right is the Leolin Woods. And for people that have never been to Lilydale, it's a hamlet, and it's beside the Cassadaga Lakes. There's three of them, upper, middle, and lower. It's in western New York. It's in Chautauqua County. It's in the town of Pomfret in the village of Cassadaga. And it's actually an island. And as you're approaching Lilydale, you know, you pass by two things, Leolin. And I don't think I really knew who Leolin was for many, many years. Like you said, I've been coming here, like, you know, since 1975 or something. So I did a little bit of research, and what I found to begin with was, like, the Leolin Woods was, like, a 20-acre act of, it's a tract of virgin old-growth forest.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1,000 years old. It has like 18 different varieties of mammoth trees, classed as veterans by the State Department of Forestry.
Yes, we've had foresters come in, and they're just amazed at these big, thick trees that some are, what, 200-300 years old?
Yeah, 300-400 years old. Yeah,
and if you...
They're actually thousands of years old.
Yes, and so if you're familiar with Lilydale, it's the path out to Inspiration Stump. When you are on that path and headed toward Inspiration Stump, you have entered the Leolin Woods. And then when you get to Inspiration all these beautiful trees, this canopy of trees. I call it an outdoor cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's where we do one of the message services that happens daily here in Lilydale. So, yes, please continue. I get excited.
And then on top of, like, the beautiful woods that's there that's named Leolin Woods,
mm-hmm.
As you come by, that's on your right side is the woods. On the left side is the Leolin Inn. And all I knew about that, really, it was the original homestead of the Aldens, the people that, you know, let all the free thinkers and spirits come to Lilydale for the picnics to begin with.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, like, who is Leolin? So I went to the museum and I talked to Ron Nagy, and Ron Nagy goes, oh, that's Abigail Pettingill's granddaughter, and she had named the woods and the inn after Leola. So I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And then they opened up the Welcome Center this year
mm-hmm.
over at the Leolin Inn.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there, and Francesca was the lady that was working there, and she showed me on the wall the little family tree that they had on there, how it was Abigail, Pettingill, and Charles. And then they had four children, and one of their children was Josephine, and Josephine had Leolin. So I had, like, I just took a picture with my camera of the little family tree they had on there, and I decided I would start a little family tree and see if I could look at census information and stuff like that. And that's kind of how it all started, like the whole adventure.
Like the ball started rolling, your mind just started percolating, and you said, I need to research this more and more and more. And so the Leolin is one of two hotels that are part of Lilydale. There's the Maplewood Hotel that a lot of people are familiar with, that they may go sit and on a rocker and look at the lake. But the Leolin has the benefit of being right there on Dale Drive. And it also has a lake view, a lake access that people really enjoy sitting next to. And it kind of has slightly different accommodations from the Maplewood Hotel. And to take you back in time, as Niff was talking about, it was the old Alden Farm. And they were so generous to let people come to the shores of Casadega, the spiritual group that had been based in Leona, another L, Leona, New York, and eventually this became established as a summer camp so that people could come on a yearly basis and really share, and not just the free thinkers, but people who wanted to bring forth spiritualism in a beautiful, big way. And so this family tree that Nish's talking about, Abigail Pettingill, she was a very important lady in Lilydale. And I know you've got some great stories about her, and then how we got to her granddaughter.
Correct, because it all seems to go back to Abigail, like,
yes.
Who is Leolin. So
yes.
I'm going to do a little screen share with you right here, just for a second. I've never done this, so we'll see how this works right here. Screen share. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Okay. So I started a little family tree for Leolin. And down here at the bottom, you can see there's Leolin Louise Everett was her last name, and she married Timothy Spellman. Leolin's mother, which was Abigail's daughter, her name was Josephine. Right? And then Josephine's parents were Abigail Burnham Pettingill, and she had married this Charles Pettingill. So now I kind of had like a little family tree. And if you look down here on the bottom, the second level and the third,
mm-hmm.
you can see how it goes from Abigail to Josephine to Leolin.
Right.
So Abigail is actually... Abigail Pettingill is actually a Wheelock. And the Wheelocks go all the way back to the Pilgrims, and he was the Reverend and started Dedham, Massachusetts and stuff, okay, back in Pilgrim times.
Mm-hmm.
They were all fleeing England for the Church of England to go to the United, you know, to come to the New World here. So she has quite a history on her own, the women up the side of Matilda Wheelock, who was Abigail's mother. And then you've got Willard Burnham, who were also, they drove ships and things like that, like during the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Matilda Wheelock had Abigail, and Abigail had a sister, Emily, and another one, Eliza, and Caroline, and George, and Harriet, okay? Because it's going to come back to this. It comes right back to Abigail, okay? So when Abigail has Josephine, Josephine marries Henry Everett, and I start doing the family tree because I'm like, well, how did Leolin get to where she was? What did her mother do? So I did a little bit of research on Leolin's mother, and Josephine, it said, from the census information, was a philanthropist in the Los Angeles area who helped in found the Hollywood Bowl Symphony. She was like the major financier for the Hollywood Bowl Symphonies.
Wow.
And she lived in Pasadena, California for like 20 years. She was president of the Pasadena Community Playhouse. She worked with Oscar Wilde. But that is, you know, he was an Irish poet and playwright who lived in London in the 1890s. She was on the board of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra, the Pasadena Civic Orchestra, and art institutes all across the United States when people were still going like horse and buggy and train. They didn't even have tires, really. She was on boards of like many, many things. She had probably the choicest collection of artwork in the United States. She always was a philanthropist and helped, like, prominent artists, people, like, that she thought was, like, up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the residence that her father lived in, that Josephine lived in, was next to the Hotel Vista. And they had a huge auditorium that they have exhibitions for art, and they would invite music notables there. And I was like, wow, this is an awful lot of money to be building civic centers and all this stuff. So I started looking at a little bit of some of the works that Leolin's mother did, and let alone, like, working with Oscar Wilde. She also worked with Arthur Sullivan of the famous Gilbert and Sullivan. And they did a Victorian-era theatrical called The City of Light in 1907, set in Lilydale, New York.
Wow.
Right? And it was the music of Arthur Sullivan. He was a composer, and he had a partnership with Gilbert, who was like a dramatist.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, these people were like Hollywood stars in the Victorian era, right? When, you know?
Sure,
but
sure.
Wow, look at what Leolin's mother did. That was Abigail's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, why? With all this stuff, I wonder what Leolin's father did. And Leolin's father's name was Henry A. Everett. On to Henry Everett. Now, when I started looking at Henry Everett, an odd thing started happening in my family tree. It created a circle and duplicates, and I had to keep undoing it and redoing it. So, Spirit tells me Abigail's sister had married Azariah Everett, and they had a son, Henry. Abigail's daughter, Josephine, married her sister, Emily's son, Henry. So, I'm going to click the family tree that I'm sharing right now, where you can see, here's Leolin, there's Josephine and Henry. All right, now I'm going to go up to Emily, who is Abigail's sister, and I'm going to click on that. Now you can once again see, now we're looking at, you know, a different part of the family. Now we're looking at Abigail's sister. Okay. Let's see if I can get Abigail. I'm just going to go over here for a second so you can see Abigail is still in the tree. Okay?
Yes.
There's Abigail and Charles with George, Charles, Josephine, who's Leon's mother, and then Isabel.
Yes.
And Isabel was also very much interested in Lilydale and did many, many things. So, Abigail's sister,
Emily,
right here, married Azariah Everett. And those were Henry's parents. So Josephine's mom was sisters with Henry's mom, which made Josephine and Henry first cousins. So Leolin's parents were first cousins. So I'm like, where did Henry get all the money? You know what I mean? Just like the Pettingills, like, because it's streaming on down, like, where it came from. Turns out that Abigail's sister Emily married Azariah Everett, who was an eye doctor in Cleveland, who also owned brand new were railroads, and he owned a railroad, as well as being a doctor. And his brother was an eye doctor, and they were very prominent. Azariah Everett was the first professor of ophthalmology at the Cleveland Medical School, all the way back in the 1800s. Him and his brother had a partnership. Well, when they had children, the children all worked. They gave them, like, jobs. It was pretty interesting. So Henry Everett, which was Josephine's husband, Leolin's father, Henry Everett was very interested in electricity and traction and wanted to get away from steam railways to electric streetcars. So he was really into lighting, electric, and streetcars. And as I look back, I'll come back when I get to Abigail at the very end of all the things that these people did for Lilydale, like what they did and built. So really, they were very, very prominent people. So I'm going to go back. I just wanted to show you the link in the family tree. How the Everetts and the Pettingills are, like, connected more so than in most families. And it was a common thing to do back then. It really was. I do ancestry. People did do that. And how I found out that they were first cousins was I found an article about where they got married. Henry Everett and his father, Azariah Everett, were from Brooklyn, New York. The Pettingills were from Cleveland, Ohio. And it was illegal to marry your first cousin in New York. So they couldn't get married in Brooklyn, where the railroad tycoons were. They had to get married in Ohio because it was legal there. Okay? So along the way, Josephine, Leolin's mother, Josephine and Henry, the railroad tycoon, they had three kids. They had, in 1887, they had an infant son, like in July of that year. He died on the same day, and I cannot find a name like anywhere in the records. I find like the birth certificate and death certificate, but I don't know his name, so I just have it on here as infant son Everett.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy was born the very next year, or I mean, Yolen was born the very next year.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dorothy was born in 1892. When I looked up Leolin's sister Dorothy, she was the director of the Everett Stone Company. So she lived in this place called Kirtland. So I looked up Kirtland and did some information. It was like a 400-acre estate that Josephine and Henry owned. And it is now the Kirtwood Country Club. They lived in a castle, and the castle is now the clubhouse for this very prominent golf course out in Willoughby, Ohio, which is right near Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as a matter of fact, is where Leolin and her husband got married. Where it, and the name of the place is the Leo Doro Farm. And after doing some research, Josephine and Henry named the estate after Leolin and Dorothy. It's the Leo Doro Farm. And then Leolin is married there. So that's pretty much what I've got, like, with the family tree.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Abigail, and she has been, they've been, you know, in the United States since the Pilgrims, who had Josephine, who was the philanthropist, who married a railroad tycoon. And that's who Leolin's parents were. Okay?
Nice.
So, now, when I look at things, is like why things are named for Leolin, they said that Abigail had done that. Doing some research, what I found out about Abigail, she was on the board of directors since the 18... I got the dates here for a second. Let's see. I can't remember the dates offhand right at this second. But she was president of Lilydale Assembly from 1903 to 1906.
So, Niff, can we take it off of screen share for a bit? If you're going to...
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
thanks.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's
okay.
Great. That was great info.
Yeah. So, let's see. I lost my place for a second.
So, Abby Pettingill.
Okay. Yeah, she funded, like, all these things in Lilydale. And I started looking at, like, in February of 1978, Willard Alden died, the guy that owned and built the original homestead
mm-hmm.
on what's now the Lilydale land. And he gave it to, it went to his wife, Corintha, but she died shortly after that, like in 1892, wasn't long after that. Then it went to Theodore Alden.
Mm-hmm.
He was the next one. That was Willard and Corinth's son, is what the Leolin. It was called the Alden House at the time, but that's who it ended up going to. And then he, him and his wife decided they were going to sell it. And in 1893, they sold it to John and Inez Agnew. And I found Inez Agnew many times being a speaker and a medium and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They only owned it for about a year, and then in December of 1894, the Agnews sold it to Abigail Pettingill. And I found the recorded deed in Mayville, and that was January 2nd, 1895. So she'd actually been a member before she had bought the property and stuff like that. I think she was on the board from like 1893 to 1906 and was president from 1903 to 1906. I'm not quite sure. But So I started looking into it, really, and Abigail Pettengill was the one who funded all of the water system that runs to all the cottages in Lilydale. It was like in 1800s, the water and Henry Everest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go back to this. Let's start over again for a second. You got Abigail and her sister Emily. Emily marries a doctor who loves railroads and has a son who's wicked into electricity and railroads and financing it. Incredibly talented man who had many businesses that he ran. During the time that she was in here, she paid for that stuff to go into Lilydale, for it to become the City of Light. It was Henry Everett. It was really her sister's son. See how close they
yes.
were? They did, like, all these magnificent things for Lilydale. Like, I was very amazed. I knew of Abigail Pettengill, but I did not know how many things. She built the post office building as a welcome center down as you come in the gate.
Mm-hmm.
She built the two pillars in the arch that said City of Light that was above it. I'm trying to think of some of the things she built there. It appears to me that the house that she built, when the description of the house is as you come through the gate, it is most ornate building, like, in the Northeast. I am thinking that the house, the first of the three sisters, where
oh,
the Lord's House
maybe.
Of Light and Joy is,
mm-hmm.
is where that house was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
And he asked, how did Abigail Pettengill even find Lilydale?
I've heard the story about that.
Right. She was riding on one of the Everett's trains,
mm-hmm.
going on a trip, and she ran into Marion Skidmore, who convinced her to come here.
Yeah, so Marion Skidmore is a big name in Lilydale. In fact, the library, the reason we have a library is because of Marion Skidmore. Because books were near and dear to her heart. And if you come to Lilydale, the big brick building of the library has her name on it, as well it should. And she brought a lot of people to Lilydale. She was very influential and knew Susan B. Anthony and had a lot of connections with various people. So I just love the fact that in the story, they kind of strike up a friendship immediately
right.
on the train,
right.
and the next
right.
thing you know, Abigail Pettengill has come to Lilydale, and then she becomes this amazing benefactor.
Exactly. Huge benefactor, really, and I never realized, like, she made us a lot what we were and drew the people in, like,
yes.
along with others, but she made progress with getting
She's a mover and a shaker, and the first woman president of Lilydale when women weren't presidents of much. First female. Yeah,
yep.
It's amazing.
And the reason she, I found a thing of a newspaper article from way back,
mm-hmm.
and what she said, she was really into women's suffrage. This is why Abigail Pettengill. The quote that I had from her is very interesting. This is what she said. She said, I paid taxes in three states while my gardener, who could not read or write, was making the laws for me.
Mm.
And the whole entire family felt that way, the men as well as the women. You know, I thought that was very interesting. Like,
that's a great quote to find, because it's true. If here she is doing all of this and employing people, and then she's not allowed to even vote about the country and the land. So for those of you who are just joining us, just to let you know, this is Wednesdays with Willa, and we are uncovering the mystery of who is Leolin. And my special guest today is Jennifer Roach King, and she thankfully is retired, so she has devoted a lot of this time to research who is Leolin, and she's exploring that today on the show. We're so grateful. So, yes, we've just been talking about Abigail Pettengill and how she is the grandmother of Leolin. Leolin was an actual person. And Abigail Pettengill was so great to be the big benefactor of Lilydale. We'll always be grateful.
So these are some of the things that she did to Lilydale. Originally, well, Lilydale is an island, and it's very muddy and mucky. And she had it filled in with, like, dirt and rocks and stuff. They had this stuff done. This was back in 1893 when she first started coming here. And she had it filled in. She had a good plank walk from the depot to the ground so that all the ladies and gentlemen going from the depot and wouldn't get as muddy. So she put, like, a what they called the corduroy back then, which were logs that you could walk across and made a path. But like I said, the arches in the front with the iron gate.
Right.
She made the office building down where the post office is. Built the house at Aurora's. The next year she was also reelected, and that was like in 1894. She had the bowling alley, the two-story bowling alley built in 1984.
And that was down at the Lilydale Beach area.
It was, and mm-hmm. with four billiard tables. Okay, the whole thing, there was like an amusement park down there, as a matter of fact. It had electricity and light thanks to the Everett, her sister, and that whole, like, it's amazing what I found. And then, let's see, and then she was reelected again in 1895 to the board, not president, but she was on the board. She purchased the 6 acres of ground between the channel and the camp and the railroad station. They had to finance that, like for paperwork thing. They sold 160 shares, and she bought 60 of the 160 shares. So at least a third of funding to get us connected to where the stagecoaches and railway would stop. So we own the land in between that.
Yes, because at one point there was a train depot that would deliver people directly to Lilydale just across the bridge. So that's the area
correct.
Nick is talking about.
And it was her family. It really was. It's amazing, like, all the things. Like, way back then.
Yes.
The Grand Hotel, she completely renovated that. That is the Maplewood Hotel. 1893, she completely renovated that from the ground up. Had it painted, papered, carpeted, the whole thing. In 1893, she also had the complete system of electric lighting, which now illuminated the grounds. And it also hung in the trees as it went through the Leolan Woods. His lighting was a little different.
Oh.
It was brand new. Lighting was brand
That's
new
right.
back then.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in June that she had that done. And actually, when you look her up in Who's Who, it'll tell you that she's one of the most wealthiest and generous benefactors, like, and philanthropists. It's really amazing. Like, and it went all the way down her family, how they help to make things better, you know?
Yes, in a big way, in a big
right.
way.
She put the water system and got it improved for fire protection in 1893 after there was a big fire in Lilydale.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted them to finish and supply water to all the cottages and the depot and stuff like that had just been created for the railway. And that all happened in 1893. In that 1 year, that's how much money she sunk into there. Another thing, Abigail's daughter Josephine, who is Leolan's mother, donated that organ that is in the auditorium.
Oh, the big
auditorium. She donated, okay. Yep, because they were all musicians and orchestras, and they planned all these, like, incredible things, you know? And those are the things that the grandmother, Abigail, did for Lilydale. I think they are quite significant, really.
Absolutely.
Another interesting thing I found out about, she was very good friends with Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I found, it was like an article, and it said Susan B. Anthony was looking for money to carry on a systematic campaign for women's suffrage. Abigail Louise Pettingill was on the board and was the first to donate $100 to organize Susan B. Anthony's campaign for women's suffrage. The total amount that they collected for the entire campaign was $300. And so, once again, she paid a full third. I thought that was very, very interesting. Like, they were very, very good friends. Like,
yes.
I found a lot of information on that.
Beautiful.
Okay. And then, like I said, with Josephine, so I'm kind of done with Abigail.
Yeah, you're done with Abigail. I think people are really curious about Leolin now.
Yeah, so basically what Leolin did is she was a poet and a writer. She wrote for Life magazine. I started doing some research, and I found a bunch of books from, like, 1900 on. She lived in Italy. Leolin married Timothy Mather Spellman, who was a composer, and she was a writer. She wrote for Life magazine. This is a book from the 1900s. Of some of the poems. These are either going to be available in the museum or available in the Leolin in the Welcome Center. But I've got 7 of the 11 books. When she lived in Italy, she owned her own printing press and bindings. This is epilogue. Ooh, I'm not good at this. First one I showed you was called Fawns at Prayer. And that's a collection of her poems from Life magazine. And she's got one called The Epilogue. This is another one called The Three Priests. And these are the original ones, these first four. And this is one called The Agnostics.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote plays with her husband. He wrote the music, and she wrote the plays. This is the book that she wrote. These are not the original copies. The first four were. And that's pretty much what she did. Her husband was a composer, and she wrote plays and poems, and they were very, very prominent people. They never had any kids. In doing some other research, I found the repository of all of the Everett's stuff. When Leolin and Timothy got married, they went to Italy on their honeymoon. And on the honeymoon, they found this place, Villa Rosolini. And they ended up buying it. It's now called the Villa Spellman. When Timothy died, and then Leolin died, they had no heirs. So I went looking for the repository of their work, because they actually donated. It was Villa Rosolini that they changed to the Villa Spellman, but they donated it to Johns Hopkins University for Italian studies. But they also took all of their information, which is located at Johns Hopkins University Sheridan Libraries. And a lot of the information I got was from actual stuff that came from the repository of the information. I don't have all of the pictures yet,
mm-hmm.
But there's like 32 photos of the family and stuff like that in it as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So you still have some research coming in, basically, for all of this.
I'm not completely finished with that, as a matter of fact. It's kind of a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in terms of this, they were in Italy most of the time, but they had to come back at different junctures. in time, right? So they weren't exclusively in Italy the rest of their lives or anything. They came back to the United States at different times.
They only came back during the World Wars.
Mm-hmm.
They almost got stuck there during World War One. Both World Wars, they had to come back to the United States while that was going on.
Right.
And they went to Brooklyn, very well-to-do and very well-known people.
So they had the benefit of being able to have the support from family to come back to. But there's that sense of them being almost like immigrant, you know, they emigrated to another country to a large, you know, large extent. They spent most of their time there. I remember you saying that one of her plays, was there something about a play that was actually hosted at one point too?
A play that was hosted.
That she wrote. Wasn't there some sort of play that was like Shakespearean? Who wrote that play? I remember you telling me that one of the books that has an extensive play in it that she had written too, because she's very intelligent.
She wrote many plays, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about which one of the plays
had more of a Shakespearean tone to it. But so she had the benefit of knowing how to use language. But why do you feel, or in your research at all, where do you think the name Leolin came from?
Well, that's very interesting, actually.
Because it's an unusual name.
It is a very unusual name. Originally, this is a kind of a funny story, really. I'll tell you briefly what happened. I was very much on a quest. What does the name Leolin mean? Like, where did it come from? Like, you could search Leolin. It's not a name that's very common. And when I saw that Leolin and Timothy got married at the Leodoro Farms, I started trying to research, which is now the Kirkland Golf Club, whatever. I started to research, oh, maybe they named her after the family estate. I was like, okay, so I start researching this Leodoro Farm that was like this 400-acre huge estate that she grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find anything on it. It was the only thing called Leodoro that I could find anywhere. Thinking that, like, maybe the Leo came from, you know, and Leolin came from that.
Sure.
So, this is a true story. This past Sunday night / Monday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, and it was like spirit was telling me, you better not have amnesia about this. For real. Telling me, okay, it's Leolin and Una. Look up Leona and Una. It's a boy's name. I was like, this is crazy. But this has happened to me before, so I'm like, okay. Now, I start Googling and looking here and here, and I keep searching Leolin and Una. Leolin and Una. And what do I find eventually? After, like, probably 4 or 5 hours of, like, looking for a combination. And I had originally thought Spirit was saying Luna, not Luna.
Gosh.
Right? Right? So I find it is a play from 1811 called One O'Clock. And Leolin is the male character in the play, and Una is the female character in the play. Josephine, Leolin's mother, being a playwright, loved that thing and called her Leolin. So Leolin's whole life, she used her middle name. It was Leolin Louise. And she did not, like, stray from that. So that's from Spirit.
So she was called Louise, basically, right?
No,
she went by Louise.
Her dad called her Leo. Mm-hmm. He called her sister Dottie.
Okay.
Okay. And that's why he named it Leo and then Doro for the name of his farm. But we all really didn't care for the boy's name. So always added Louise. And Abigail Pettingill's middle name is Louise.
That's what I was just going to say.
It was kind of like an honor to her grandmother that they got the same middle name. So the citing to that play from 1811 is really my reference of what it is. From Spirit. So,
someone's asking, was that Queen Zenobia?
Yes, Queen Zenobia. That's one of the books there. She wrote that.
Yes. There we go. That's what I was, yes. Thank you.
Is that the one you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Her most favorite one is called The Sleep Book, Poetry of Slumber.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look for it on YouTube, you will find other people reading it. I have not been able to obtain a copy of it, but it is out there to listen to.
Sure. I think it's great. And the on another note, there was a painting of Leolin too.
Is a spirit art painting, is it?
A spirit precipitation painting. That I believe Abby Louise Pettingill saw and knew that to be her granddaughter.
Yeah.
I can share a picture of that if people would like me to. I can share a picture of what it came out in the painting as. Because sometimes what people think they look like, it's not what they look like, right?
Right.
So
You never know.
Some people are more accurate than others in terms of how they're able to convey. So that's why I would rather have it verified. But I guess Abby Louise Pettingill recognized her granddaughter when the spirit precipitation painting was made. So let me just see if I can share that with all of you real quick.
Leolin also wrote the poem that was at the Leolin Inn as you entered the gate.
All right, I'm going to see whether I can share this with y'all. Oh, yes, yes, read that, please.
Hell, guest, we are not...
Oh, maybe I'll read it.
There you go, okay.
Group effort. Hail, guest, we ask not what thou art. If friend, we greet thee hand and heart. If stranger, such no longer be. If foe, our love will conquer thee. That's almost like a y'all come. That definitely has. Let me see if I can share to this photo just so people can see what she looks like. There we go. So this is Leolin in all her beautiful hair glory, it would seem. And kind of has that look of a romantic. And, the white rose must have had some sort of special significance that is lost at this time. We don't know if that would have been a special thing, a special part of the message for Abigail to have received. But, yes, that's what we know at this point.
I got a more current picture, like a regular picture of her. Let me see if I can. I'm not sure if it will screen share for me, but let me see.
And remind me again approximately how old she would have been when she passed. Leolin would have been. Oh, there we go.
You see that?
Yeah, that's a great picture. And
that's Leolin, mm-hmm. And Timothy. And,
so brother, no, husband and wife.
No, that's your husband.
Husband and wife. Sometimes I was like, wait, no. So husband and wife for this. I like her hat. You know, the hats they had back then are so cool.
And then this is Leolin's signature from a passport from 1915.
I can't see her passport yet. We're still on the photo. You may have to jump out of this screen share and do the next as a separate.
see that.
That's from her passport.
Right?
You were able to snag that. For anybody who's a handwriting expert out there, have fun.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah,
I
it is.
I've got a picture of the Kirkland Country Club, which is where they got married, where the Everetts. Let's see here. Let me get rid of the other one. That's where Henry and Josephine lived.
Wow.
And it's now a country club. The Kirkland Country Club.
Wow. Now, I remember you telling me, just as a point for people, that Leolin preferred her grandmother. She didn't like her mother, Josephine, very much at different points. There was some tensions there.
There was. She loved her dad, but she did not really care for her mother. I actually got it. It's in the Spellman papers, which are the papers that I got from, let's see here. The Oatland describes her parents. Let me see if I can share this. Share screen. The Oatland describes her parents. Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that she was born in Cleveland on August 5th.
Okay. She was admitted at age 10 to Cleveland schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was admitted at the age of 10 to Cleveland Hathaway Brown School. When Leolin later wrote about her childhood, the material comforts were always overshadowed by contrasting impressions of her parents, a cruel and wicked mother and an adored father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was kind of her perspective.
But Josephine had written plays, too, and I find it very interesting that Leolin did a lot of that. And as it says here, she was the editor of the school's literary journal, and you know, her early writing abilities were obviously noticed by people at a young age.
Yeah, 10 years old.
Yes, so that when she was there. Now, isn't that interesting? It says the following winter in New York, after she'd been in Naples, Italy, she was introduced to Timothy Mather Spellman. So she hadn't met her first cousin yet until she was older? I find that kind of odd.
No. Leolin married a composer. It was her mom and dad that were first cousins.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm already getting confused.
Leolin,
good thing you're here.
Yeah, Leolin she married Timothy Mather Spellman, and they loved writing things together and composing and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's what they had as their many projects, it would seem.
Oh, yes.
So there it is. Yeah, she died. She died like a year after him, after her husband. Well, this has been fascinating to kind of have a dive into who is Leolin. I think you've been able to answer a lot of questions for people as far as the background and the family history and the interweavings of that with Lilydale and how important it was. And I remember you and I were talking about this before this show in preparation, that Abby Louise Pettingill did this for her family members. She would, you know, put money toward a building or a place, and then it would be named such and such. That was a common thing for benefactors.
Absolutely.
To pick a name.
Yep. And it was kind of a family effort, really. It was Abigail and her sister Emily,
mm-hmm.
and then it was Henry and Josephine. You know, mm-hmm. all four of them, really, that's two generations. Really, they helped bring the traffic, you know, making it easy for people to get there, have
yeah.
railway stops, you know, put in the water,
mm-hmm.
in the sewer,
mm-hmm.
in the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the things I came across, I was like, I didn't know, like, one person had that much to do with that.
Well, it does. Sometimes it does take just a person adding their financial support or emotional support or physical support to make something happen. And we're grateful to all the people who are benefactors of Lilydale. And certainly you can always keep that in mind if anybody would like to do something. There's always maintenance to be done, as Abby Louise Pettengill noticed. There's always maintenance to be done, and we're looking at a water project and some new gas lines and things like that. So we're so grateful for anybody who wants to help with infrastructure or anybody who wants to help maintain buildings. Lilydale is in need of those things so that we
yes,
can maintain.
Ours are from 1893.
And that's way too long to go without new things. So now this has been so great, Niff. I really appreciate you coming on the show today and being so generous to share your research with us. And I know some other pieces will come together for you, but you've got this big chunk of information about this family, and it's great to be able to highlight them on the show. I really appreciate that so much, Niff. That's beautiful.
Thank you for having me, Willa.
You're so, so welcome. Oh, and before I forget, I do have... for those who are interested in my mediumship development circles, if you would like to attend, I have a new series starting up. It's Mondays in November, so you're going to want to reserve your spot because our first night of that circle is on November 1st. You can find information about that on my website and on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. And I encourage you to look and view this later on if you need some more information. Niff gave some great family trees, tree information, and some of the exactness of that was really needed for our presentation today. And next week, I have as my special guest Sandy Harley, who is with Chautauqua Hospice and Palliative Care. We're going to be talking about the comfort of palliative care. I've had experiences as a hospice volunteer, and she's worked extensively through the years with hospice. And people have their different stories about hospice and the beautiful things that can come of helping someone in those end-of-life stages. And that's something that's so important that comes up frequently in readings that I have with clients, what it was like for them at the end of life. And hospice does really do their best to provide comfort to the caregivers and also to the people who are experiencing those things. So thank everyone for your kind attention. Hope you enjoyed. Who is Le'olin? We now have the answer. Bye-bye, everyone.